Well,
Did you
this.
see this happening, bro?
You're always hoping. Do you know what I mean? You're always hoping this crazy guy would pull it off. You're always, I don't know. That's why we kind of watch boxing, and it isn't it to watch these crazy characters do something remarkable. But yeah, I wasn't completely shocked, but I was jumping off my sofa when Garcia started putting him on the canvas, definitely. But yeah, big surprise.
For you, did the telecast show you when like they decided to interview Haney, the moment Ryan's dropping his weird moment? Did you get that on your feed?
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, he
What
was
did you
about
think of
to.
that?
It was just unlucky, wasn't it? I thought, or do you know what I mean? They all do it. They've been doing that for a while, so that was just quite unlucky. But yeah, it was quite cool to see that. I quite enjoy it as a fan. What do you think?
Well, I just thought it was like a weird moment because it was like you could tell he was like, uh-oh, something's going wrong. And they're like, so, what do you think of this fight? So, should
Yeah,
he
he
just
just
move
stopped talking
around,
to
do
me.
stuff? And it's like you could tell that there was a change in his tone, like these punches were getting into it. But let me shape the conversation. What does this win remind you of? For me, it reminded me of MMA, Conor McGregor beating Jose Aldo. Which I'm not even an MMA fan, but that was such a big win that I feel like you couldn't escape it. But I can't really think of another time I was uninterested in a fight and the impossible happened. Maybe if we were older, Sonny Liston, Muhammad Ali, but I don't know. This kind of ranks up there as kind of a career defining, like a generational win.
Joshua Ruiz was a bit like it. Reminded me of that a bit. Although we're kind of all waiting for Joshua to come unstuck at some point. But yeah, when Ruiz knocked out Joshua, it kind of reminded me of that a bit.
Yeah, I
But
guess
from over here, yeah.
the one thing about Andy Ruiz is he's kind of boring. Even though he's a fat guy, he's like, hey, I'm just so happy to be here. And it's like part of the
Yeah,
what was
his
so
interview after the fight was pretty cringe after he won the world.
well, I remember he did that documentary with the pot guys. So it was like he's going into the biggest fight of his life, and it's like here's Woody from the weed distillery coming to do the vlogs with him, and something's wrong there. Does this have lasting impact on Devin Haney? Because part of the marketing of Devin Haney was that he was the next Floyd Mayweather, and Floyd never lost, but that was kind of the gimmick and the marketing and the angle was this is the next guy after Floyd. Do you think
Yeah.
this has a damage to either his fan base, to him, or just in general? How do you think he recovers from this?
Well, first of all, I will get to that, but they've done that with quite a few fighters in America. He's the next Floyd, haven't they? And none of them have been anywhere near. Like Floyd's a pretty special. I don't think we're going to see anything like that for a long time. Like all the way through his career, even when he became the home fighter. But yeah, I never thought it was going to be that. That's just Eddie Hearn ramming it down your throat, saying he's going to be the next Floyd. But yeah, he's been coming unstuck for a while. I thought Lomachenko, a lot of people thought he lost that fight. Progre wasn't exactly, wasn't very exciting, was it really?
I mean, it was exciting for me because I was in the building and like to see him knock the guy down, to feel the energy. But like the consensus is anyone that was there live loved it. Anyone that was sitting at home found it extremely dull.
Yeah, it was a good performance, but yeah, it was, in terms of technically and what he needed to do, almost perfect. But yeah, he hasn't looked that good for a while, I don't think. Yeah, obviously Kambosos, he looked really good, but Kambosos can be quite basic, despite, his other attributes getting him to the level he's at. But
I mean, you're
yeah.
the Eastern European king. You know that. You know every fighter from over there. But I think the question is this a hiccup in Devin Haney's career, or does he have like someone was talking to me yesterday and said he's going to become the next Corey Spinks? Does he have a Corey Spinks career, or is this like a tough lesson where he kind of becomes a better fighter? And I feel like this is going to be a crossroads for him.
In America, what was the consensus from the fans? Did people like Garcia or Devin Haney more? In the lead.
I think it's tough because I'm not as with the fans anymore.
It
Like
feels like people were tuning in to watch Ryan Garcia rather than Devin Haney, yeah?
I think the fight promotion was so strange. I think people were tuning in to see a car accident. I honestly feel like nobody was really that invested in either fighter per se. They just wanted to see something bizarre and strange happen, but they weren't, I don't think that there were more fans for one guy or another. When Garcia won, those people that tuned in to see a car accident, I think by default jumped to Garcia because they go, okay, this guy did crazy stuff and all that. I think that the hard part is Devin lost to a guy who acted crazy. And typically you want to punish those type of guys because they're doing everything. Basically, you train the way you're supposed to train in the sport. And you got whooped. So there's like multiple layers of coming back from that he has to endure. He has to believe, like, okay, I'm training as hard as I can. And this guy was drinking and smoking and all this, and he still beat me. The big thing I saw was Garcia had no respect for Haney's power. And that's very troubling when you look at guys like Shakur Stevenson, William Zepeda, Sabril Matisse. Obviously, Gervonta Davis, those are all power guys. Even Zepeda, lightweight, he's a lot of volume, a lot of power. That was the big concern I saw was, uh-oh, if the power doesn't translate, how is this style of pure technique and staying off of you? Because Garcia, to me, was way too comfortable just allowing to walk in and take a shot here and there because he knew his punches would be more damaging.
It's a weird one because it ahead of Gervonta Davis fight, people had gave Garcia way more chance of winning in that fight than they did against Devin Haney. And you'd say Gervonta Davis is far superior than Devin Haney, no? Would you not?
I think
I think he's
Gervonta.
just been conned about how good Devin Haney really is. He hasn't looked that good for a while. Lomachenko is still a great fighter, but he's nowhere near the fighter that won all those world titles coming up through featherweight and super featherweight. He's a small lightweight. So yeah, I think we've been kind of,
Well, let's keep it real. We keep it real. The boxing game is to manipulate people's emotions. The truth is always secondary to selling you something. So, like, there's 20 fighters out there that aren't what we're being told. And that's just boxing. That's what it is. Like, there's a bunch of these prospects you and me look at and go, I don't know if he's good. But you see him on a poster and it's shiny and they come out in Versace and they look like a star. But then the question is, can you live up to those type of performances? And I think that I wouldn't say it's necessarily conned. I'd just say where boxing is at now is it's not as much performance driven as it is personality driven. And then they're hoping the performances match the personality at a certain point.
Yeah, like if you look at Garcia's performance, there's still lots of it was really poor. If you look at like his defense and some of the things he was doing against probably one of the poorest Haneys we've ever seen. So despite breaking the internet, I don't see him doing very well against a lot of the other champions. You kind of have him as the underdog.
Well, I mean, look, he just was throwing left hooks. It's not like he was doing some Rubik's Cube puzzle to him. I saw a round where Ryan just only threw a left hook.
But would he have, yeah, I suppose he would have done that. Regardless of if Haney was poor or not. But well, where do we stand on is Ryan Garcia crazy or was this just a really
You
good?
have to be crazy to behave like this. Even if you're not crazy, you're a little bit crazy because it went on so well that by default, by doing that, you're a little crazy.
Okay, so the difference, so is he a little bit crazy, which a lot of fighters are, or is he does he need some help? Does he need
I
some
think he needs
You need a
help.
padded room.
I think he
Do you know
needs,
what I mean?
well, I don't know about the padded room, but like I'm a little troubled that, like, okay, he wins this big fight, and then I see him in a private jet going to Miami, like partying basically, and it's like, is this win gonna enable all of his bad habits? And it seems like he has a problem with people in his team being yes men. So is winning this fight gonna be justification of, oh, Ryan can mess around because he can get away with it? And then that's gonna lead to 3 to 4 years of basically him doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, you see in a sort of parallel with Teofimo Lopez in many ways. You guys were
I think
talking about.
so. Shout out my guy James Clurkin. That's what he always tells me. He's like, he sees those two kind of as neck and neck doing the same thing.
But that's a big part of the sell of these dudes. Like, Garcia definitely, he's been doing some mental things. We've been talking about Bohemian Grove and kids and stuff, and he's been a regular on InfoWars. He's
Yeah,
like getting out there. Do you
highly
know what I
tuned in.
mean?
He's jumping on the Andrew Tate Twitter spaces, and Andrew Tate is going, really interesting.
Yeah, he
Give us
turns up.
more information. Why did they do that?
Yeah. And I felt like, I don't know. It felt like he was bullshitting about something there. I don't want to, if something bad did happen, but,
It just didn't, let me just say this to cover you. Even if something happened, the way
adding
he
up.
went about it was strange. Right? Even if something happened to me, I wouldn't be like, you know how I'm going to get to the truth? I'm going to go on the internet and make a bunch of outlandish posts and really make myself seem like a silly person.
Unless he has seen something and like he's trying to use, he's using himself, may have been a stupid way to do it.
I just
As,
think that
but who knows?
the delivery of the message was in a way that
It's
made
more
the
that.
message
I
bad.
don't like that. That is going on out there, but how doing
We're gonna throw out an allegedly.
an
That is going
allegedly,
out
but
there
doing a thing with
allegedly.
Andrew Tate wasn't really the best way to go, and it didn't sound like he was very impressed either. So,
It's just a weird thing. It felt very attention-seeking behavior-ish. It felt as though it was just a strange build-up. It was a fight built on all the wrong things, in my opinion. It was a fight built around Kardashian attention-seeking behavior as opposed to talent, which I think you and like I was telling someone, the fighters I'm drawn to, Crawford, Usyk, Inoue, Bivol, Beterbiev, they don't do this baloney. And a lot of fans aren't interested in them because they just fight. And
They're
those are
just
the fighters I'm interested in.
focused.
But a lot of these fans want to do the soap opera. Oh, what did he eat today? Oh my God, he tagged this per. I couldn't care less what Bivol does as long as he gets in the ring and fights.
So yeah, two of the best you mentioned, Usyk and Beterbiev. I've spoke to, done interviews with, and apparently all they do is while they're in camp, it's just train, pray, eat, sleep, read a book, do the same, talk to the family. It's literally all they do. There's no going missing in Vegas for a couple of days. They're just, it's just a different culture, I think. I think that's probably what that. All that really comes down to at the end of the day. But yeah, you're talking about quality of a fight. Yeah, that wasn't the highest. It was a cool fight to watch, really entertaining. But
I mean, it's the fight of the year so far.
that wasn't that is far, very far from two of the best fighters in the world.
Is it a little embarrassing for Devin Haney, this outcome?
He's got the weight thing, hasn't he? He's got that. And I think Haney's coming across over this part of the world that he's pretty much, he's making it pretty easy to go and fight people. He went to Australia to fight Kambosos. So he's got that going for him. But I don't know, what were those boots about? He was wearing something. Did you see that? He was
Oh,
wearing
the
some
shoes?
boots. Yeah. What was that all
Oh,
about?
I mean, he's into fashion. So you know what the first rule of fashion is, you wear something that's not practical. So I mean, that's when you're fashionable, you start wearing purses or skirts if you're a guy, and people go, "What's this?" And you go, "Oh, well, this is the new Tom Ford outfit that's 20 grand." You're too broke to under like you start wearing all the because really what fashion is you just want to stand out. So like to me, it was just like some really expensive shoes to stand out. How would you conclude this fight? What would you say? the final words for this is.
The final one. It was just I don't know what you can say, mate. What it was a fun.
A dust up?
Fight like this. I don't think a fight like this is. This is like two kind of 25-year-olds meeting before they go on to the next part of their careers. It's kind of, I think we're billing this as something it's not. And I think the views will come anyway. Do you know what I mean? This isn't the sort of treating like this. This is, better be.
I think it's treated like two superstars. And I think what you're saying is these are two guys that are not at that level, the Cotto Floyd level.
And I'm thinking boxing. I'm always thinking like you. I'm always thinking, where are they as a fighter? Like, to be on it, a lot of the social, a lot of it, I'm not even on TikTok, so I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm not on it either.
So there's some new things. I'm not even on there. So, they both got a long way to go.
Yeah,
I think
undercard was really boring. That kind of sums it up. Like, the undercard was pretty bad. Standouts, my guy Charles Conwell had a good performance. The opponent he fought was just not on his level, but it was a great debut. Really interesting, talented fighter. I think Charles Conwell is someone I like. Arnold Barbosa, good friend of mine. I felt really bad for Arnold because I feel like he was preparing for both Devin Haney and the opponent he had, thinking Ryan might pull out. And he had a lackluster performance because I don't think he mentally and emotionally was able to commit to one specific opponent. That's just an observation I have. It could also be that I like Barbosa a lot, but I think he was just in a rock and a hard place. He had to train for two opponents, and he was an afterthought. I think he even missed the media workout flying from California to New York. Trying to think what else. Beck the Bully just doesn't seem like he has it at the highest level. It just doesn't seem like it's going to work. I'm sure you're more qualified.
They say that over there. They've been saying that
Give us the inside.
No, they just beat up, friends, and I'm not going to say anyone's name, but yeah. Like, okay. He reminds me of Ponomarev. You remember Konstantin Ponomarev?
Yeah.
He's like one of them. He's another Konstantin Ponomarev.
I mean, he reminds me of a guy kind of like Ruslan Provodnikov to a degree,
yeah,
where you can match him up. Maybe he'll have a great legendary night here and there, but more likely than not, he's going to get hit a lot, and his fights are going to be predicated on how much he can take a punch. And I'm just not a fan of fighters that have to rely on their ability to get hit for their career longevity.
Yeah, but yeah, he didn't light up the undercard. Where do you see Haney's still got his belt, hasn't he? So how does he get on against Matias? I don't see that.
I mean,
going
come on, man. Like, like we know kind of the way those fights go just based on this, because Matias isn't going to stay off of him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, the worst thing that could have happened to Dev is he kept his title, because now any power punching fighter is just going to go out and call out Devin. And Devin's whole thing was, I'm going to fight anybody. And now he's going to have a whole list of people that he wants to, that want to fight him. And then he has to hope that Ryan wants to fight him, because who knows where Ryan's mind's going to be.
Josh Taylor alluded that obviously he did an interview. I can't remember where, I think it was IFL TV, but he sounds like he wants to stay at 140 still because of all these things going on. So you got him. We'll see where he's at, because he had a bit of a weird performance against Lopez.
I don't think he has much left. I think Taylor's
it
really
like
at
it
the
looked
end.
Like he gasped real quick. He was full of excitement at the press conference. I spoke to him, but yeah, we'll see. But yeah, Jack Catterall. Yeah, I'd probably say Haney beats Jack Catterall. But yeah, they're DAZN guys, aren't they? So yeah.
I mean, I just think it's a weird conundrum, right? Because Devin's a really good fighter. He's like a top 5-10 type fighter. It's just there's a specific style that the fans are drawn to that are going to be really hard fights for him. Fans are drawn to knockout punchers who come forward, and that happens to be the guys. The big takeaway I took away was, if a fighter's the same size or a little bit bigger than Devin and they're just as fast, his level of adjusting in the ring is nullified because part of his adjustments that he's made have been based on physical size and athleticism, along with boxing IQ. And when those things are equal, he was having to adjust in real time, and he was struggling with some of those adjustments, in my opinion.
Yeah, Garcia was doing a few, we see did do, but he was better than what we've seen against Davis. Like that was he just wilted against Gervonta. So yeah, but
I also
yeah, I
think
think
like not making weight is a big deal. Like,
yeah, he was never going to make weight, was he? He came in, he looked really good actually. I thought like physically, yeah. Yeah, but Haney, I will give Haney this. He did. A lot of guys would have quit there. A lot of guys would have quit there, and he carried on. He stuck in there. He got to the end.
he's a good fighter, bro.
Yeah,
He's a great
yeah.
fighter.
So
It's
he's only
just
25. He's only 25, isn't he? So this could be the making of him. He could go on. I think he'll have to grow into a weight class a bit more. I think he struggling to make 135 for all those years. That's probably not
look,
helped.
we
Yeah.
try to microwave world champions nowadays.
But
Like,
yeah,
he's
losing everything.
great. He's great. It's just how many 25-year-old Hall of Fame fighters have we seen? Typically, you're 31, 32. Guys lose. We just are in a lame era where people look at a loss like, oh my God, you're not a great fighter. You lost because most of these fighters are taking uninteresting fights that they have every advantage over. Like it's not that big of a deal when a guy loses. My bigger concern is his jaw looked messed up, and I hope that the scrutiny on social media doesn't affect him mentally, because Devin's a tremendous fighter, he's a talented fighter, but I hope that this new ecosystem, this social media world that made this fight, doesn't impact him long term.
Yeah, it's weird how the guys deal with this sort of new thing. Like you watch how Garcia dealt with it and a pretty unorthodox route, but yeah, it definitely helped him. But yeah, I think he'll be all right. He seems like he's been doing this. How long's he been boxing for? Since he was a baby. So yeah, I think he'll be okay.
So, Adam, I think that social media is a new language, and Ryan Garcia speaks social media. We don't speak social media, but I almost think that social media is like a language now.
Yeah, it's something I'm starting to know, like that TikTok thing. I can't get into that.
But like
Not
engagement,
interested
right?
in
There's
that.
some kids that can pick up their phone and go, oh, look at how you made this post. It's not going to engage anyone. Like there's 14-year-olds that are social media wizards just because they spend so much time on it, and unknowingly because they follow so many accounts, they pick up the manner. It's like how you become a better writer if you're reading books all day. There's kids
Yeah.
that live on social media and they know how to make posts because of what they see every day.
Well, do you know some? This is pretty crazy here. Do you know there's some children out there being born? We're starting to evolve as humans with an extra vein in this arm here because they're doing this.
Well, don't talk about it. I don't like that. But,
We're
real
becoming
quick,
these
Dakota, your
things.
guy, did you want to say anything about Cromwell or Barbosa, or are we just going to skip those? We don't have to talk about it if you don't.
No, well, I was in and out of the Barboza fight. Was it that bad of a robbery? I'd
It
be lying.
wasn't a terrible robbery. It just was a performance where if you wanted to cook some dinner, you might as well just make your dinner instead of watching
That's
that fight.
what I was kind of doing, yeah, during that. So that's why I don't
I
really
mean,
know what
it's one of those
happened.
classic, like, it was a uninteresting, uninspired performance where a guy no one had ever heard of did really well. So then because he didn't win, everyone's like, man, this sucks. And I
Yeah,
think it was
man,
more
going
so the
crazy about
emotional burden of like an underdog performing well. Dakota Linger beat Kurt Scobie on OTX Boxing. That was kind of a shocker. It's like a
it. How was
sneaky.
that show? Was it good?
It was strange. Basically, Kurt Scobie is a big power puncher, a physical guy, former football player. And Dakota Linger kind of figured out he couldn't really fight on the inside and kind of broke him down.
Okay, cool.
So that was a weird one. This week, we got Pro Box. Really good
Yeah.
card. I'm looking forward to Marcus Valle, my guy. I call him the bully. I like Marcus Valle.
How good did his brother look in the previous?
Awesome. And
I want to
coming
see
to
some of that from Marcus. I want a bit of that from
I
Marcus.
think Marquez is the more advanced fighter of the two. I think he's a little bit.
I'd like if he could extract a bit of his brother's brutality, you got the full package there. But we'll see. They're quite young, aren't they?
I like both of the brothers. They're so mean. I like
Yeah.
Marquez a lot. That's my guy. He's just mean, and he's fighting Damian the Samurai Sosa. Solid fighter, but I think that he's always kind of struggled at a certain tier of opponent. You know, he's kind of hit a wall, and this should be kind of a possible graduation for Valle to possibly be a main event guy. You know, I almost look at this as like, as if he has a dominant performance, this is where he can make the,
Yeah.
you know what
Yeah,
I
for
mean?
that
Like if he
they've got
goes
to
out,
yeah. They gotta make a move. Sorry, I cut into you there.
yeah,
But yeah, they've gotta make
you
a
kick
move.
up your feet
I
and
think
do
they
it.
gotta make a move. Yeah, I think they've been treading water for a while now, on Wednesday night fights. So yeah. They need to but yeah, I think like Dominic with his performance, I think they'll knock him up to a potentially a headline slot and then yeah, Marcus he's got to he's got to knock someone out and look good. That's what he's got to do.
Then another fight I'm looking forward to on this card, the return of Ronnie Rios. Ronnie Rios,
Yeah, I
really
see you've been writing
exciting.
about that.
He's a really exciting action fighter. He fought your guy, MJ Alkhamadov. I probably said it all wrong. You know, Eastern European.
I
Adam
say
knows
them.
all. Phenomenal fighter, by the way. Like one of probably the best fighters that no one cares about currently.
That's what we do on Pro Box. Yeah. So.
But Ronnie Rios lost to him and basically retired, gained like 30 pounds, didn't had a job, didn't like how he looked, kind of like the alcoholic working at a bar, goes to the
Get a
boxing
Tyson
gym.
Fury.
Which one?
You get a Tyson Fury.
No, Fury put on a hundo. Fury did like 100 or whatever, but he did a baby Fury, goes to the boxing gym, starts losing weight, gets the hunger, gets the itch. He's coming back, he's fighting on Pro Box. He's got a formidable opponent who doesn't have a formidable record in Nicholas Polanco. It's a very good fight.
Yeah, Polanco's dangerous.
And I think this is a gut check. And I talked to Robert Diaz, his advisor, former matchmaker at Golden Boy Promotions. And the sentiment is, look, this is an assessment. We're going fight by fight. We're not throwing him into a tough fight right away. We want to see if he's even still the same guy. So I think that's a really good fight because to me, Ronnie Rios is one of my favorite kind of characters in boxing. He's always just been such a nice, kind person. And Ramon
So why
Cardenas.
did he get so unhappy? Was it just the defeat against MJ? Is that what made him spiral out of control? Not out of
No, I
control,
mean, I think
but being overweight
he lost
and
to Azad Hovhannissian. And I think that he really contemplated retiring. Then he beat
oh, back
Diego
then
Del
you're
Toya.
talking about. You're not talking about the fight after MJ.
No. So MJ's his last fight. So he fought Azad Hovhannissian in like 2018 maybe and got knocked out. Then he rebounds by beating Diego De La Hoya. I think that fight got him the MJ mandatory. And keep in mind, Ronnie Rios is like a multi-time national champion. Pretty much a lock to be like a future world champion given his amateur pedigree, but then he started hitting these ceilings. He has a wife and two kids, loses to MJ, and I think he starts looking at the finances and goes, maybe it's just more practical if I have a job. So I don't think it was like I want to give up on my dream. I think he's an adult who has two kids and a wife, and he had to be an adult. You know, he couldn't really do it.
Yeah, dates are getting changed and all that. It's not all Las Vegas, is it? You'll meet. Yeah, any shows, there's just a load of normal people, yeah, struggling to get a bit of cash. So wow, that's really interesting. So that was after the MJ fight. So
So
we're
after
seeing.
the MJ fight, gets a job, works, goes to a boxing gym, gets the weight off. He's got a new coach. He's no longer with Hector Lopez. He's working with his buddies. And now we're going to see if he still
So
has it.
what's more interesting? What happened at the job? Did it not go well, or
I think he liked it. I think
You
he
liked it?
liked
All
it. I
right.
think he just got in the gym and just enjoyed boxing again, and the weight fell off, and he probably sparred a guy, dropped a guy, allegedly, maybe, and then just like, oh, I can do this. Speed round. We got to go quick.
Oh, what?
Peter McGrell is fighting a guy I've never heard of.
Mark Leach, yeah.
APK.
Yeah.
What should we
Yeah, he
care
was
about
meant to be
here?
fighting the guy. I'm going this weekend. He was meant to be fighting the guy. Didn't
Jericho
work
Quinn, the
out.
Great Lakes King.
Yeah, he was meant to be not fighting him, but he's pulled out for some reason. So yeah,
They
I've just
said
looked him up.
family reasons, which is always the worst.
Oh, that's a shame. I wanted to like meet him and like talk to him and stuff. That was one of the reasons I was gonna go. But yeah, I'm enjoying the guys down there. But you're talking about quick fire. I never do quick fire, but you're talking about losses, early losses. It's starting to change. You look at Nonshinga, you're looking at McGrail. He's still headlining in Liverpool, so people are still behind him. So yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll
And
see
my
what
guy
happens.
Pat McCormick,
Yeah,
really
he's
like
good.
him, and it seems like his career is not going the way I expected. I saw him as a superstar, and he is totally just not moving up anywhere.
Yeah, I think injuries have been a big thing. And then he was with Probellum
That
at one
you
point.
shall
Yeah.
not name.
Yeah, Probellum, he was with them and then they went down, so then he didn't have anywhere to go. So yeah, I think just a few things, but yeah, he just needs to get some activity. But they pulled him out of a couple of fights. I can't remember. They
There
were
was,
looking
I think
him
Zepeda,
fighting another
maybe.
Northeast guy, yeah.
Was it Zepeda that he was supposed to fight, or he had like some notable fight and the fight fell through?
Can't remember. Yeah, he did have a notable fight. Me and Ben went, but it skipped my brain. But
So I'm gonna be in Fresno this week. You know, Lukey's gonna do his rare on the road thing. Maybe a good week to be on the road. Golden Boy Promotions out there, so I can talk to Oscar bragging about Ryan Garcia. Not a very interesting card, I don't lie to you guys. I'm excited because I like Jose Ramirez, I like Virgil Ortiz. These are kind of, in a perfect world, they can get wins in a regional market and look impressive. If you go deeper on the
They're
undercard, you're
superstars in that part of the world, though, aren't they? That sort of
yeah,
Southern
for
America.
sure,
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
Oh,
And
that'd be cool.
I think it's a cool regional attraction. I also think the Rancis Jose Ramirez fight is sneaky tough. I don't think the Virgil Ortiz Thomas Delorme fight is tough. I just think that Rancis, if he has something left, has a style that could be really, really awkward for Jose. But then you go a fight down, Oscar Duarte versus Joseph Diaz Jr. could be a fight of the year. That's a
That's a really
banger.
good card, yeah.
That's a
That's
banger.
better than
Marlon
the one.
Esparza is fighting the girl that she's tried to fight for like three fight cards, and the fight has fallen apart. So, and then there's a couple of regional fights. Brian Lua, this girl Jenna, who's going to turn pro. So it's, for me, these are the Lukey zone fights where it's like a good regional card. There's a world fighter, but there's a lot of like, let's go to a mom and pop store, and the fighters come out, and you kind of see the people of the town, maybe like a how pro wrestling was in the 80s, going in southern states. You know, meet Hulk Hogan at the Save Mart.
Yeah.
By the checkout, it's kind of
You'd
my
like
jam.
Germany. It's yeah, it's kind of stuck in the 80s boxing there. It's kind of
I mean,
interesting. Yeah,
that's
that's
kind of my
interesting.
vibe, but I mean, I would say, what do we learn about boxing? Sometimes the cards you're not excited about produce the best results, and sometimes the cards you're very excited about produce forgettable results. Golden Boy on a sneaky, really fun run of producing great fights. So that's the card I'm going to. I'm not sure if you're a fight fan, which one you'd choose. They're kind of the same caliber. Which one would you choose, even though you're biased?
What, between the one I'm going to and
The
the one you're?
Fresno or the McGrill one.
Yeah,
If
the
you were just
Fresno
sitting at
one.
home, you're drinking a beer, or you're relaxing, eating some popcorn.
TV, probably. Oh no, actually, they'll have a good crowd down there, won't they? They're pretty crazy crowds with
I think they're both like the
Ramirez
same level
fans and all
card.
that. They're pretty cool, aren't they? Yeah. If it was me, I'd want to go to America and cover.
Well,
I
yeah,
want to. And
you'd
live the
want to do
dream.
what I'm doing, but you know,
Land of
that's
hope and glory. So
yeah. So I
yeah.
mean, it's gonna be a good weekend, and this is kind of what I always call the classic, the week after a pay-per-view. It's
Yeah.
the week after a pay-per-view, so then the fights are a little dull. And then we got Canelo next week. And I haven't even looked at the schedule, but I'm sure May 11th.
Japan, a lot of Japan next week. Nishida Rodriguez, and then you got the Inoue Neary monster card.
Banger. Sneaky great fight.
It's a really good, it's a really good card, that. That's
Can
crazy.
we start calling the good fights a dust up? I like that phrase. A
That's dust up. Barn
real
burner.
good dust up.
A good one in this part of the world. People like a barn burner.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boys on Pro Boxing
I
have been nicking it as well, I noticed. So yeah.
just think of Looney Tunes when they showed a fight and then the dust would go up. So it's the dust up. Adam, we only got about 3 minutes left. So why don't you promote yourself? You're doing tons of great work in the boxing journalism field. And beyond that, you're just a good man and an even better friend. So I appreciate you coming on and letting me hassle you.
The good man and better friend is the most important bit. I suppose just follow on the on my social media channels where I barely post anything. Twitter or X, Adam 4C Sports, and then Instagram, Adam Noble 4C, I think. Yeah, that's it. TikTok, I'm not on there. Yeah, go to Boxing Scene, that's where all the work is, or Pro Box TV. All the same articles on Boxing Scene or on Pro Box TV. So you can watch them. You can read both there. That's about it. There's not much else to tell me.
And if you're lazy and you don't want to do that, in the show notes, whether it's the podcast, whether it's my newsletter, or whether it's the YouTube channel, all of your socials are linked. So there you go. There you
Perfect.
go. If you're lazy, just go into the bio, click a button, and there
I'm
you go.
lazy.
But be sure to, this is what I want all five of my listeners to do, okay? Get close to your computer, get close to the screen. Somebody follow Adam and tell him thank you for being on the show. So then that makes him feel special.
Lukey knows what he's talking about. Yeah.
No, not, not.
I am trying to actually post all my interviews now. I'm actually trying to do it. So
Yeah, I mean
I will. But
it's
yeah.
something, but I appreciate you for coming on, bro, and I know you're super busy. I like the tracksuit too. I need to get one of those. Like, it makes me look athletic. I need to start wearing more athletic gear
That's
to like
what I'm
boxing
going
events.
for. You've given away my secret.
You're
So
giving
yeah.
away the secret, saying I just came from the gym. Like, bring a little water bottle with me. Oh, I was just at the gym getting a swole sesh.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I feel bad
You're
in
not
gym.
going all in on the character. See, that's what I'd
No.
do. I'd wear some Ray-Bans or something. Oh man,
Yeah.
that before I get you out of here, that's one of my pet peeves: boxers wearing sunglasses at press conferences.
After, if they've had a real good kick in, I don't
No,
mind.
no,
But
prior to
yeah.
the fight, after the
I've
fight.
got a problem with anyone doing that, let alone boxers. I don't
No,
want to.
no, no. I'm me too, but I just feel like there's a. This is gonna be something that we might circle back when I bring you back at some point. There's a pandemic currently going on of boxers and sunglasses.
There's the lady who looks really cool, who does it. Franchon Cruz. She
Okay.
looks cool. She can do it, but no one else. That's
I mean,
me.
if you're gonna wear them, get some prescription
Yeah.
glasses.
But she's really having a go. She's really wearing
I
some
mean, she's
crazy.
got like female Mr. T vibes.
Yeah. The Eastern
But
Europeans are doing it a lot at the moment. I don't like it.
okay. Well, I mean, I feel like that's like the I'm on pay-per-view move is like, okay, I'm a pay-per-view fighter. Let me bring the shades to the stage. I
It's a
feel like
bit.
that's the move.
You should only be wearing sunglasses if it's sunny.
Yeah, I mean, it's an
Oh,
sunglasses
yeah.
are built for outdoor activities. That was Adam. Adam's one of my good buddies. I haven't officially met him ever, but we will make that happen one day. Adam, I appreciate you more than you ever know.